Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast by the American Council of Engineering Companies, coming to you with another government affairs update for April 2nd, 2020. We're just a couple of days out from the enactment of the CARES Act, and really already, the agencies tasked with getting the law in action have been rushing to get guidance out. And there's a lot of guidance getting out from a myriad of federal agencies to businesses, small and large, to help them through the coronavirus pandemic. And wanted to bring in Steve Hall, our SVP for Advocacy, and Catherine Motley, who is our tax guru, to talk about some of the guidance that's out there and really where things stand. So, Steve, where are we right now, and what are some resources that our members should really be aware of?
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, as you indicated, the guidance is starting to come out. It's not complete yet. I think the Small Business Administration still has some more detailed information to release, but the White House has released information, big picture information on the small business assistance, as well as even a sample application to give firms an idea of the kind of information that they need to assemble. We've circulated that out to our state organizations and have posted it to the website. So the information is there for folks. One of the things that we're really encouraging all member firms to do that may qualify for this assistance, and again, we're talking about firms that are below 500 employees, if they're interested in applying for this assistance, they need to be talking to their lenders now. Talk to the banks that you have a relationship with now and get some guidance on this. Talk to your CPAs now about assembling the information based on that sample application. The loans, we believe, are supposed to become live starting tomorrow, but it's not too late to get that information, start connecting with lenders, connect with the CPAs, get your information in order, so you can get as close to the front of the line as absolutely possible. And then we're just going to continue to churn out information as it becomes available from federal agencies. We also have a webinar that we'll be marketing pretty heavily. It's free of charge for ACEC members next week, next Tuesday. And we have an outside law firm that's going to be walking through specifically the small business programs. Again, those programs that provide help to those firms that are 500 employees and below, and leave time for Q&A for the firms to help them through this process.
That's great. We're going to put the webinar information in the show notes for everyone to know how to register. Again, we are putting out a series of free webinars. They are free to register, and we are putting up the video after the fact so it can be viewed on demand. But we have gotten a lot of interest, and we have a big attendance on each of the webinars that we're doing. This one in particular is going to be very important for executives to know exactly what they need to do. And your point is well taken that the time to act is now. The law is enacted, and now the agencies are doing their part to get the information out there and to start these programs up. So now's the time to start talking to your accountants, your lawyers, and the people that you need to rely on to help you navigate the myriad of programs that are contained within the CARES Act. Part and parcel with that is a lot of work that's coming out of Department of Treasury and IRS. Catherine, I know that you've had a lot of information coming out of your side of the world. What are some of the resources and guidance that our members should be aware of coming from IRS and Treasury?
Thanks so much, Jeff. And you're exactly right. Both IRS and Treasury and the Department of Labor have been pushing out guidance almost every other day, trying to get information, make it available to employers in the U.S. who are contending with this coronavirus crisis. And, there have been comments about the fact that March seemed like an endless month, and it does kind of feel that way. With all the work on the CARES Act, it almost seems like the distant past when Congress also passed the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. That was actually Bill number 2. And that's the law that includes the emergency paid leave requirements. And so I do want to point our listeners to the ACEC Coronavirus Resource Center on our website, acec.org, because the Department of Labor has put out guidance for employers. And most importantly, perhaps, if they click that link, they'll see a Q&A document. And the Department of Labor continues to update that document, adding questions and answers and providing very detailed guidance to employers so that they know how to implement these programs. What are employees entitled to? How does this all work in practice? So I highly encourage people to take a look at that guidance.
Yeah.
There has also been another piece that employers do need to know about with respect to the emergency leave is that, much like if you think about your office break room, where there's often a bulletin board and there are various required posters that employers are required to put up relating to employee rights. Well, there is actually a poster for this emergency leave. Now, the Department of Labor does recognize that a lot of employers are not actually physically in their workplaces. So there is information that you can email to your employees and also continue to meet those requirements of posting that notice. But that is an important requirement and something we have a link to the poster and Q&As on the poster also on our website.
That's an important point to bring up. Just because we're working remotely doesn't mean that we can't, we don't have to still stay within the regulations on posting the materials to employees. And the resource page, again, on the website at acec.org, is a great resource. There's a lot of information there, and we're actually taking efforts today to recategorize the page so it's a little bit easier to navigate. But it's the kind of page that we really encourage everyone to bookmark and refer to as much as possible, because as this information comes out and as Steve's team gets more information, we're putting it up there as a central clearinghouse. And it's a really good resource for you to take advantage of. And Catherine, you made a really good point that this is just, you know, we're already at phase 3 practically, and now the conversation is starting to tend towards phase 4 and what that is going to look like. Now, from our corner of the world, it seems the conversation is trending towards infrastructure, which is a good thing. But exactly what form is that going to take? That's the big question. So, Steve, what are you hearing so far about phase 4, and where do you think the industry might be able to benefit?
Well, I think there's an opportunity there. Mostly what we're hearing right now is big picture comments. The president has tweeted in favor of restarting conversations on a $2 trillion program. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, had a press conference yesterday talking about infrastructure and referring to the framework that House Democrats released about a month and a half ago. And again, that's a close to $800 billion program. So we're hearing a lot of initial interest and recognition that infrastructure needs to be a part of this next, phase 4 package. Not a lot of details yet on how we're going to pay for it. That's going to come eventually. But we do know that as a starting point, we have a surface transportation reauthorization bill in the Senate that's already passed one Senate committee unanimously. That's a good starting point. We've got the Water Resources Development Act, or WRDA, that is starting to get pieced together and move in House and Senate committees. That's a logical starting point. And then we have other existing programs, water and wastewater programs administered by the EPA, airport programs administered by FAA. We've got this existing good network of federal infrastructure programs that work pretty well if we just put money in them. One thing that ACEC is going to stress very strongly as part of this agenda, we want to see a robust agenda. We don't want to go back to a shovel-ready approach to infrastructure that characterized the last stimulus effort in the early days of the Obama administration. That didn't work for our clients. It didn't work for our industry. We believe very strongly that, you know, the additional funding is needed, and we want to give our clients the time to program that money in a way that that helps them the most, that helps the constituencies that they serve the most. And so that is something we haven't heard the word shovel ready yet, but we hear from our members from time to time raising concerns about whether that's going to be the approach again. Yeah. And I just tell them, you know, from ACEC standpoint, and I think the other stakeholders are probably on board with this, we don't want to see that. We learned a lot from that last process. We pushed back against it at that time, raising concerns that it wasn't giving our clients sufficient time to really make smart investments as opposed to just throwing money out there. So we want to push a big, robust program, and we want to do it in a smart way that's going to get bring long-term benefits to the taxpayer, to the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting point that you raised, because there's enough of a skeleton there that action on a phase four could happen fairly rapidly. We already have the big service reauthorization bill that needs to be reauthorized. And then we also have WERDA that's in the works. And of course, the Senate, as you mentioned, cleared their version of a bill. So this could come together very quickly, but it's incumbent that the industry makes its voice known that we want long, programmatic, sustained, and predictive funding instead of a focus on shovel ready, which is something that, you know, has been used in the past. And sometimes, you know, politically, it's attractive for some members to be able to say, well, I want to be able to cut a ribbon, or I want to be able to, you know, take credit for something. The big credit is going to be allowing states to have the flexibility to plan their projects and make significant, lasting infrastructure improvements. And that comes with a more thoughtful approach. So that's something that our members, with the members of Congress being home right now, up at least until the end of April, if not longer, they're in the district, and they can be reached by email and by phone. So this is the kind of thing that our members should be looking at doing, is just reminding our lawmakers where the engineering industry is on this.
Yeah, and to that end, Jeff, we'll be launching fairly soon a grassroots effort targeting lawmakers in the House and the Senate with that kind of message. Again, big, robust infrastructure package. Let's use the existing programs, take advantage of what exists right now, and what our infrastructure clients understand and use right now. And hey, you know, with gas prices going down, you know, good opportunity to once again, you know, start that conversation about whether that federal user fee should be adjusted upward to pay for this. So I think everything's on the table, and we'll be pushing that hard for the next month or two at least.
Absolutely. Well, a lot is happening, even with Congress out of session. Now the rubber meets the road, and the law becomes enacted, and everyone can take advantage of the programs that are combined in the first and second and third phases of stimulus. So we really appreciate your insight and information here on this government affairs update. Steve and Catherine, thank you for coming on the show, and we look forward to having you on again very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.